I'm glad that you're here. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, would you be willing, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, would you be willing to say this to the Lord right now? Would you say, Lord, would you please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Would you say that to the Lord silently from your heart? Would you say, Lord, would you speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to, filled with your spirit, which simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, I need two volunteers, and you typically know how I volunteer people, AJ and Sean. Sean's going to quit sitting up front, aren't you? Okay, now I need AJ on this side and I need Sean on this side, okay? Now, whenever we communicate, we have a message that goes between a sender and a hearer or receiver, right? So I'm going to propose two different scenarios, okay? Sean, you're the listener. All right, so to show everyone how much you're listening, I want to put your hand behind your ear. Have you ever seen people do that, especially old people? They can't hear you, and they go, huh, what's that? Right? So you're doing that. And AJ here, AJ is absolutely not sending a signal at all. He is saying absolutely nothing. So what are you hearing over there?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, that's scenario number one. Scenario number two. Okay, you ready for this? I want you to put your fingers in your ears, okay? He's got his fingers in his ear. Now, I want you to tell him the most important thing in the world you could tell him. And I want to, by the way, Liberty won their first game of the year, beat Elkins. So congratulations there. So you're going to tell him something very, very important.
We're going to beat South Harrison next on Friday.
Okay, now, I didn't realize we were bringing up rivals here, but now, if he had fully plugged his ears, he might have heard that, because I think he heard it. He was pretty serious about it over here, so I think he heard it, but typically, if his fingers were really hard in his ears, he would not have heard. There was a message coming, but he wouldn't have heard it. That's scenario number two. Now, what we're going to talk about today, in a roundabout way, we're going to get to this point eventually. There's two scenarios in our life. God sometimes is speaking to us, and we have our ears plugged and aren't listening. But there are certain times in life that God is not speaking, and we want him to say something, and we want him to give us direction and guidance. But God is being silent because of his sovereignty and because he has something even better planned. Okay, so we're going to talk about that through the story of Noah's Ark. Thank y'all, and y'all stay separated now. Head back to your seats. If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7, we're going to be reading chapter 7, 17 through chapter 8 and verse 19, okay? The story of Noah's Ark. We've been in this series for a little while, but we're looking at principles that we can apply to our life through this story, this true account that actually happened in the Bible. Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. If you would follow along, I'm going to read through chapter 8 and verse 19. It says, "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were greatly increased greatly, that is, upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. I imagine what that is saying is that even the tallest mountains were covered by 15 cubits or 22 and a half feet more or less. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go from the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. Now, isn't that a wonderful story? There's a lot of details here, and I actually considered giving you a whole lot of details about the time schedule and the time frame, but I decided that we'd probably be here a while, and I decided God would have us emphasize a few different points. But one thing that I want to mention, point number one, if you're taking notes, if you look at this story, Noah and his family were on the ark for 1 year and 17 days. Can you imagine? They were on the ark for 1 year and 17 days. You say, well, how do you know that? I'm going to back up, and the verses will show up on the monitor there a little bit. But in chapter 7 and verse 1, I'm going to methodically go through this quickly to show you that it was a year and 17 days that these folks were on the earth, on the ark, that is. Chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Drop down to verse 4, it says, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." So 7 days before the Lord brought the rain and broke up the fountains of the deep, Noah and his family were on the ark. So you got to keep in mind that 7 days, okay? Now look at verse 10. It says, "And it came to pass after 7 days that they were on the ark, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth." Now look at verse 11 of chapter 7. It says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life." So Noah was 600 years old. It says, "In the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened." So Noah was 600 years old, and it says in the second month, the 17th day of the month, these fountains were broken up and the rain started out of the sky. Now keep in mind, it had never rained before. It had never rained before. And in addition to that, when the earth and the fountains of the deep broke up, man, just imagine all the water gushing forth. And it rained for at least 40 days and 40 nights. Some would say it rained hard for that and a little bit less later on. But imagine the torrential downpour. Imagine how the fountains were broken up. But that happened, keep in mind, the 600th year, second month, 17th day. Now go to chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, "And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth. Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry." So he's still not off the ark, but we've turned into the 601st year. Y'all still with me? It started in his 600th year. It says in particular, second month, 17th day. But now we've turned into the 601st year. Okay? Now look as we read on. Verse 14. "And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried, and God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark." So, he says, it's time to get off the ark. So it started 600th year. I know this is not exciting, but sometimes facts need to be expressed, okay? 600th year, it says second month, 17th day. But it says in chapter 14, the second month, 27th day, or the 27th day. So that's a year and 10 days. Y'all with me on that? A year and 10 days has elapsed, plus the 7 days they were in there early, okay? So 1 year and 17 days on the ark. You say, why in the world is that important? Well, if God sees fit to record it in his book, it is an important fact. You know, a lot of people think that the flood was only a local flood. Now, I'm not going to take the time, but if you read this story carefully, in the words that are in this story, inspired by God, trust me, it was a universal, worldwide flood, okay? And they were on the ark. They weren't there for just a little bit, that they were there for over a year. Can you imagine being cooped up on an ark, even though it was really big and really wide and really tall? Can you imagine being on that ark for over a year with 8 people total and all of these animals? And believe me, I do not believe that Noah and his wife and his sons, and they weren't sitting around twiddling their thumbs. They were feeding the animals, and they were preparing food for them. I mean, it was a lot of work to be done. I'd encourage you to go to the Ark Encounter by Answers in Genesis. Go and see that sometimes. It's pretty amazing, pretty awesome when you go there. But they were busy. But do you imagine in that year and 17 days, do you imagine that there might have been a little fuss among the people every once in a while? Do you imagine they may have had a disagreement or two? Y'all think? Do you think that they may have had bad days? You know, maybe the cow kicked over the feed that was supposed to, you know, there's all kind of crazy stuff like that. Do you imagine that, some of you figured this out when you retired, that there was a reason why you worked away from home, away from your spouse? Now, I'm not directing that toward either one. I'm just saying you realize that sometimes it's good to be separated a little bit. But can you imagine for a year and 17 days being together? Just think about that. Think about that big ark and how, you know, hopefully nobody got motion sick. But imagine all the sounds. I imagine there was hardly or rarely, unless God just made it happen, I doubt if there was rarely a quiet moment on that ark. Can you imagine? And can you imagine all the droppings that had to be disposed of? And can you imagine all the feed that had to be provided? And you just think about that. Sometimes we just read these stories and say, oh, yeah, big ark, yeah, okay. For a year, 17 days, they were on the ark. That's point number one. Point number two. Noah apparently did not hear from God during that time span. Now, we cannot say definitively, but there's nothing recorded in there that says God said. Now, God told him to make the ark, right? Gave him all the dimensions, right? And God said in different parts here, we're going to look at, he talked with Noah. He told Noah to do certain things. But through the whole year and 17 days, there's nothing recorded in Scripture that God said to Noah. Look at chapter 7 and verse 16. Chapter 7 and verse 16. Notice, and they went in male and female. They that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And we talked about this, and the Lord shut him in. So God slammed the door, so to speak, and sealed it. Remember we talked about the likeness to salvation and how once you're truly saved, you are saved for all of eternity. There's a picture of that in this story. But you know, that was the last sound, apparently, that they heard from God during that whole year and 17 days. Now, if you look at chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Now, I think if you think about that, some of you draw up a picture of God that's not true. How many of you think God is a forgetful God? Okay, I'm going to have to jump over a seat or jump over the where do those amens go? How many of you think God ever forgets anything? So what is it meaning here when it says, and God remembered Noah and all of the animals? I mean, did God have a mental lapse? And he's like, I forgot about that. Noah and all. No, that's not really what it means. I looked it up in particular to see what other folks thought. And I looked up at Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words. He said, remember is used of God in respect to his covenant promises and is followed by an action to fulfill his covenant. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, said, the word remember in Genesis 8:1 doesn't mean to call something to mind that may have been forgotten. God can't forget anything because he knows the end from the beginning. Rather, it means to pay attention to fulfill a promise and act on behalf of somebody. To remember implies a previous commitment made by God and announces the fulfillment of that commitment. So when it says God remembered, I think this is like God said, you know what, I'm going to continue with my commitment to Noah, and I'm going to do something about it. But if you look at that, by implication, God had not talked with Noah for that year and 17 days. You might say, preacher, I don't agree with that. I think he did. Okay, I can't be dogmatic, but it appears to me that there was a long span that Noah and his family were on this ark, and they're like, God, I'm not hearing you. God, God, you're not talking to me. What's going on here? So, it says in verse 15 of chapter 8, here's where God finally speaks again. It says, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee. So he speaks. As they had these good days and these bad days, do you think they ever wondered, I wonder why God is not talking to us? Interesting thought. The story of Noah's ark. Number one, Noah and his family were on the ark for 1 year and 17 days. Number two, Noah apparently did not hear from God during the time span over a year. Number three, when you keep on doing what you know to do is right in those silent times, it's called faith. It's called faith. Do you know that Noah and his family could have given up right in the middle? I mean, really, they could have. They could have said, you know what, I'm tired of cleaning up after all of these animals. I mean, some of you have one dog, one little poodle dog, and you're tired of cleaning up after your one little poodle dog. Imagine if you had a whole ark full of animals. And they said, I'm tired. I'm tired of feeding. I'm tired of cleaning up. The smell is terrible. The work is too hard. Where is God anyway? Do you think Noah and his family could have said that? Absolutely. I imagine that year and 17 days probably seemed like 20 years on an ark. Can you imagine? But you know, Noah is commended for his faith. Let me say the point one more time in case you missed it. Number three, point number three. When you keep on doing what you know to do is right, in those silent times, it's called faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, Noah is part of what we call the Hall of Faith, recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, he's commended in particular for building the ark and listening to God and having faith enough to build the ark. But you know, if a person is a person of faith, it's not just isolated situations. Faith just kind of pours over their whole life. And they say, you know what? I'm going to trust God regardless of what might happen. And in that year and 17 days, in order for them to keep doing what they knew to do was right, guess what? It required faith. Y'all still with me? Okay. We're gonna zero it in a little bit. You're kind of quiet today. We need to practice our amen again. The story of Noah's ark. Number one, Noah and his family were on the ark for 1 year and 17 days. Second, Noah apparently did not hear from God during that time span. Number three, when you keep on doing what you know to do is right in those silent times, it's called faith, and I believe Noah and his family showed that faith. Point number four, sometimes we do not hear from God because God chooses to be silent in the accomplishment of his sovereign, perfect will. Do you realize I'm taking the story of Noah's Ark and I'm applying it to us today? Are there ever times that God chooses to be silent in our lives? You know, it seems to be the case here that God was silent during that year and 17 days. But sometimes we don't hear from God, and it's not because God is not caring about us. It's not that God has forgotten about us. It's not that God is trying to be cruel to us, but we go before God in certain phases of life. Y'all agree with this? And we say, God, we need you. And we're listening. That could also be my amen here. But we're listening, and God says, well, I'm not saying anything. And we say, but God, I really want to hear from you. Now, there's certain situations in life that we want to hear from God, right? I mean, there's certain times, like My heart really goes out to people because we love being parents. We love being parents. We started a little bit later in life. We were enjoying life, just going along. Wasn't any problems there. We're like, you know what, Amy, if we're going to have kids, we better get with it because we're getting older. So we're like, okay. So we had our two boys. We'd have started when we were first married. I believe I'd have had 10 of them. I love being a parent. But my heart goes out to people that cannot be parents, that cannot have their own biological children. And you know, and I'm sure a lot of times people that are Christians that feel that way, they're calling out to God, God, we want a child. Give us a child. And a lot of times God is, we're listening, but God is silent. What about financial problems? You ever had financial problems? You're like, man. And you're like, God, I really need help. Aren't you listening? Aren't you paying attention down here? We need you. And God's like, What about relationship problems? When we have relationship problems, you know, we may call out to God for years and years. Say, Lord, heal this relationship. Heal this friendship. Heal this relationship in our family. And God, we're like, listening. Come on, God. What? And God is silent. We pray for the salvation of lost people, right? And a lot of times we're listening to God. We don't hear God saying anything. It doesn't appear like he's doing it. Can I assure you that God is still there? Can I assure you that God hears every prayer that you pray? Can I assure you that God loves you supremely? And can I assure you that even in those silent times, God is working? You know, they asked the old guy that had been serving the Lord for years and years, says, what have you learned in Christian life? He said, well, number one, there's a God. Number two, I'm not him. And when we realize we're not God, we can sit back and say, God, I'm not hearing you, but I trust you. And we can trust that he is working in his sovereign, perfect will. He's working things out behind the scenes. I mean, there's been times, I remember a waiting time. See, I graduated seminary in 1993 with my Master of Divinity. And we thought, God, you know, okay, boom, here we go. We're going to start serving in a church somewhere. You know, we're either going to be youth pastor or pastor. And we had a waiting period. We talked to some churches, and they wouldn't work. They wanted a youth pastor, and we were like, I can't say that I'm specifically called for youth ministry, but if that's where God wants me, and that's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear, yes, I am called to youth ministry. And I was like, whatever God wants me to do, I'll do. And we waited, and we waited. And I my engineering degree, I went back and worked at the consulting engineering company. We continued to minister at the mega church that we were at, working with young couples. And I was department leader over a bunch of couples that were down there because of the school and everything. Felt like we were doing some good things for God. But we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And it's like, God, did you know I graduated? I got my degree, Master of Divinity, now open the door. And it didn't happen. And we was like, okay, God. But was God working? And then finally we got a call. We become the pastor at Middleburn Baptist Church over in Tyler County. And that was a good place to be. We were there for over 10 years, and God blessed. And God was working, but he was being awful quiet. You see, I think that's kind of what Noah and his family, by being people of faith, I imagine they thought, okay, God, I'm not hearing you. I'm not seeing where you're doing much, but I'm trusting you that you understand we're still in this ark thing here in the good days and the bad days. Maybe, I'm not wrapping it up quite yet, but maybe you're in one of those waiting periods right now. You've been praying about something for a long time, and you've been asking God to act and to do this or that, and it appears that he's not. It's almost like the skies are concrete and God's not hearing anything. It's like, can I assure you that God's hearing it? Can I assure you that God loves you? And can I assure you that God is working behind the scenes? He's listening. Sometimes we do not hear from God because God chooses to be silent in the accomplishment of his sovereign, perfect will. You can say that in those times that we are waiting on God, the waiting period, if you will, it's really when we're waiting on God to act. And the Bible has quite a bit to say about waiting on God. The book of Psalms in particular, 19 times that word wait is used. One verse that has it in there twice is Psalm 27 and verse 14. Psalm 27 and verse 14. It says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So I like this verse because it's for people that are a little slow. Because it starts out, it says, wait. But then in case you miss it, it repeats it at the very end. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So sometimes we just have those waiting times where we're waiting on God to answer. Waiting is no fun, but can I tell you, sometimes it's necessary. The story of Noah's ark. Noah and his family were on the ark for 1 year, 17 days. Number two, Noah apparently did not hear from God during that time. Number three, when you keep on doing what you know to do is right, it's called faith. Number four, sometimes we do not hear from God because God chooses to be silent in the accomplishment of his sovereign, perfect will. And last point, number five, sometimes we do not hear from God because we are not listening. Sometimes we do not hear from God because we are not listening. Okay? You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about, listening to God? I've never heard God's audible voice." I mean, I'm telling you, wouldn't it be great if God would just shout from heaven what he wanted us to do? And shout words of encouragement down there. Like when John had the little mini stroke. And he was in the hospital. And I'm sure Marcia and Jamie and Sean and the whole family was anxious. And like, well, wouldn't it have been cool if God had said, "Hey!" Wow, sorry. Didn't mean to hurt your ears there. I'm just trying to help the ear doctors have more business. Just popped everybody's ear. Wouldn't it have been cool if God had hollered down and said, "Hey, everything's good. It's all good. Everything's going to be..." But he didn't, did he? So where do we hear God from? Well, today, as New Testament Christians, we hear God speak through the Bible, right? And if you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And when you read the Word of God, it's not a booming voice from the sky. It's a still small voice inside that says, "Hey, I got you. Hey, you're okay. Hey." He tells us any number of things. But sometimes we're not hearing God as Christians because we're not listening. Because we're not spending time in the book of books. The greatest book ever written. The only book ever written by God himself. We're not spending time and letting God speak to our heart through these words. You see, sometimes we think, "Well, God, you're just not talking." No, God's talking. We're plugging our ears and say, "You know what? No, I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm too busy." Do you know, I'm telling you, if one more person tells me how busy they are, we're all busy people. And I respect that. I understand that. And some are busier than others. But if you're too busy to spend time in God's Word as a professing Christian, you are too busy. You need to slow down. And believe me, you can. You need to simplify. Because God wants to speak to you individually, personally, as you spend time in the Word of God. So maybe we're not hearing God because we got our ears plugged, because we're not reading the Word of God. And I'm not talking about, you know, just reading. We talked about this in Sunday school a little bit today. It's not like I'm going to read this verse because the preacher said I'm supposed to read a verse. And we just kind of, okay, read my verse. I mean, read a verse and say, God, what do you have for me today? And sometimes it might be, Bubba. You know, sometimes God calls me Bubba. Bubba, you need to straighten up and fly right. You need to do better in this area. And sometimes it's like, Bubba, I love you. I want you to know that I love you, and I'm there for you, and I'll encourage you. I'm right beside of you. But if we don't spend time, we're not listening. If we don't spend time in the book. And you know when else God speaks to us? It's through the teaching and the preaching of God's word. Can I tell you something? I believe God has spoken to my heart more clearly when I've been sitting out there just like you are today, listening to a preacher preach. The Holy Spirit speaks to my heart and gives me direction. And I believe He's given me at least just as much direction as I've listened to the Word of God being taught or preached as He has when I've read the Bible myself personally. Or what might happen, He might personally say, this is what I want you to do, but then I'm listening to the preacher and it's like, boom, a confirmation. Like, yes, Lord, I get it. I hear you. But let me tell you, are you ready? Are you ready for this? If I'm not here to hear the Sunday school teacher teach, I'm not hearing God speak to my heart. There's a reason why our Sunday school teachers prepare. There's a reason why we have Sunday school in our church. There's a reason why we take time out and break up into different age groups. It's because God speaks to our hearts as we listen to the teaching of the Word of God in Sunday school. We do it for no other reason other than to help us grow in our walk with God and help us to hear God talking to our heart. And I'm blown away and I'm amazed at how many people just kind of brush Sunday school off like, no big deal. I don't know about you. I want to hear God speak to my heart. And I never know. One reason that I've been faithful to God in His house, far as I know, my whole life. You know why? Because I don't want to miss anything. I mean, I call them burning bush experiences. How do you know that Sunday school this morning, if you'd have come to Sunday school, that God wouldn't have got in your face and said, you know what? This is your burning bush experience. I want to speak to your heart. I want to challenge you in this area. I want you to be a better you. I want you to do this for me. And you missed it. I hear God speak in the sermons too. I preach 3 sermons a week on a typical week, not counting Sunday school. 3 sermons a week. And you know what? I don't say, well, Sunday morning, that's the one I got to really be ready for. I mean, I just treat them all the same. You know, I try to be ready. I try to preach. And God, it's not like, okay, where am I going to preach today? Oh, my Bible opened up to Ezekiel. I'm going to preach on Ezekiel chapter 5. God, during the week, it amazes me how God does this. But God, whether we're in a series or whether we're in, God will speak to the heart of the preacher and say, this is the sermon. You see, we are called to be the under-shepherd under Jesus Christ, to lead the church and to preach to the church. And God will invariably, sometime during the week, say, this is what I want you to preach, Steve. Again, I don't hear a booming voice from heaven. It'd be cool if it would be. But I hear that still small voice. And God says, this is the sermon for the church. And you're the church. So when the preacher gets up and he preaches, it's all about God. And it's all about His word. But rest assured that when he's preaching the message, it's the message that God has for the church. And that's you. So I do this 3 times a week, at least. How much you getting to that? How much you getting to that? How I mean, there's nothing written that I know of anywhere in the Bible that says Sunday morning is sacred and that's when God's going to speak to hearts. God speaks to hearts on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Sunday morning. What are you missing? I mean, what did God want you to do that you missed on because you didn't get under the Word? And you didn't hear God say, hey, this is what I want you to do. In that still small voice as the preacher preaches. I'm telling you, God has called me to do some very step out in faith things by listening to preachers. You see, there's a couple problems with hearing God. I'm almost finished. One problem with hearing God might be God's working, but he's being quiet. If you're in that time right now, just keep on being like Noah and his family. Just keep on doing what you know to do is right. You know, I tell God quite often, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. And in those times, remember Sean and AJ up here? AJ was quiet at first, and Sean was going, ooh. Sometimes we find ourselves going, God, I want to hear you. I need you to work. I need you to answer this prayer. I need you to do. And God's like, shh, not saying anything. But can I tell you that God in his love is working behind the scenes, and he's bringing about his purpose, and he loves you supremely. Just keep hanging in there. Keep working day by day, by day, for the Lord in faith. Serve him. That's called faith. So some of us are not hearing God because he's just not talking right now. And that can be frustrating. But keep hanging in there. Keep hanging in there. I'm talking about in those phases of life. God might be just saying, just wait. But then there's some, I'm sure, that say, you know what? I'm not hearing God because I'm not listening. He's talking, but I'm not putting myself in the Word of God. I'm not coming to Sunday school. I'm not under the sermon, but maybe once a week. Can I tell you that being under the Word of God, there's not one thing you can name that's more important than being under the Word of God. Did you hear me? Now, I'm not talking about people that are divinely hindered. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm just talking about people that don't want to be here. Or they got other things that they say must be more important, so they don't. But let me tell you, we're praying as a church. We started this Wednesday night. We're praying for increase. We're praying for increase, and we want to get you on board, and I hope you're part of the increase. But we want increase. We want to see souls saved. We want to see lives impacted. We want to see Christians growing in the Lord. And by golly, if I was a member of this church, or if I was even just attending this church and liked this church, I'd say, you know what, preacher? I'm going to do my part for the increase. I'm going to be under the Word of God. I'm not going to be one of those Sunday morning only people. I'm going to get under the Sunday school teacher. I'm going to get under the Wednesday night preaching. I'm going to get under the Sunday night preaching. I want to listen. I'm serious about God. I want to hear him speak. You see, sometimes we go around with our fingers in our ears as Christians because we're not listening. Again, we're not spending time in the Word. We're not listening to those Sunday school teachers. We're not listening to the preacher. But God has a message for us. If you would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? Let me ask you, this message has been almost exclusively for people that know Jesus as their Savior. Let me ask you a question. Is God speaking to your heart today about listening to him? First of all, if you're here today and you know, you'd say, it seems like God's just quiet right now. I've been waiting on him to do this. It seems like he's just kind of quiet. We all have phases like that. Is that you right now? I'd encourage you just to wait on the Lord. He's not forgotten you. He's not abandoned you. He's not ignoring you. He's working. But would you say, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you say, preacher, that's me. I'm waiting right now. And it just seems like God's not saying a whole lot. Is that you today? If so, would you raise your hand up real high? I'm just waiting on God to answer. And he says, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else say, that's me. I'm waiting. My ears are open, but it seems like God's being quiet. Now, there's another category. You say, preacher, to be 100% honest, and God knows your heart, because every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Preacher, if I was really honest, I'm not listening to God the way I should. I'm not spending time in the Word like I should. I'm not spending time in Sunday school. Actually, I can't remember the last time I was in Sunday school, you might say. And you might say, you know what, I'm not being faithful to come and hear the preacher preach like I should be, because that's a message from you. Is God speaking to your heart? Is God speaking to your heart? I'm not listening. I'm not spending time in the Word like I should. I'm not coming to Sunday school and listen like I should. I'm not coming to sermons like I should. If that's you, raise your hand up real high. Real high. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God's speaking to your heart. You know, I'd be scared. I'd honestly be scared if you're a Christian and you know you lack in those areas and God's not speaking to your heart. Something wrong. Something wrong there. Is God speaking to your heart? Raise your hand up real high. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Last thing I want to ask, if you're here today and you say, well, you know what, preacher? I'm not saved. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know the sermon wasn't a salvation sermon, but can I tell you that just like the ark rescued Noah and his family, Jesus and what he did on the cross can rescue you from doom and gloom and hell and sin forever and ever and ever. Is there anyone here today that says, you know what, preacher, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. I know I'm not on my way to heaven. But would you pray for me? Would you pray for me that I trust Jesus? I see a need, but I'm just not ready. Anyone like to raise their hand? Nobody looking around. Say, preacher, pray for me. I've never trusted Jesus, but just pray for me that I'll do that sometime real soon. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the true story of Noah. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons today about listening to you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be better listeners, every one of us to be better listeners, by reading your word and listening to the teachers and the preachers, and Lord, just soaking in your word and what you have for us. And Lord, help us to even understand when we don't hear you, we don't see you actively working in our lives, Lord, that you're a God that loves us supremely and you are working. And you're just wanting us to continue on in faith. Lord, I do pray for anyone here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, Lord. He died upon the cross to pay for their sins so they could have eternal life, have purpose in life, have a reason to live. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts today. If there's anyone here like that today, and real soon, even before they leave the building, they may trust Jesus as their Savior. Lord, we love and thank you. We commit the invitation to you now. In Jesus' name we pray.